Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be back home again after being gone for a week. I did enjoy my week at Rarersburg, but it's definitely good to be back home again. They're a little larger group, but I found them to be very friendly and hospitable, down to earth. And their congregation is similar to ours, and there's a lot of young people and there's a lot of children. I think they have about the same, the same amount of children that we do. A lot of children in 18 and under age, I would say. So I was blessed by being there in that congregation and invited them to come visit us. It is always encouraging to go to other churches and see brothers and sisters who are in the battle of life, just like we are. And they're raising families, they're trying to serve Christ in any way they can. And I was blessed by that. But it's always good to be home. I knew that I missed you all. But I was reminded of that again on Monday when the brothers chat anyway came alive with Monday school and continued on the discussion from the Sunday school. So I was blessed by that, blessed being here this morning. We take for granted sometimes what we have in this brotherhood. The gifts that we have, yes, for sure. This little building, there's not many churches that I've been to that can echo sound like this little building. The singing is just beautiful here, and I'm blessed by being here this morning. This morning for a message, turn to Luke chapter 6. I want to share a couple verses from Luke 6 for a text and take a message from that. I do want to thank you all for your prayers and support while I was gone. Those messages of encouragement were much appreciated. And those messages, they mean something. And it's kind of what started my thoughts on this subject this morning. The thought about what to share, my mind traveled down the thought of communication. Some of you told me, I will be praying for you. Others sent messages of encouragement. And that was a blessing to me as I studied and preached. And those words of encouragement that you shared with me, they came from somewhere. And according to our text verse, let's read verse 43 through 45, those words came from your heart. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 says, "For the tree bringeth forth not forth corrupt fruit." I'm sorry, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." For a title this morning, I'd like to use that last phrase there. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. I'd like to think about our speech this morning. What are the words that come out of my mouth? What does the fruit from my life say about what is in my heart? It says here, a good man out of the good treasure and an evil man out of the evil treasure. What comes out of my mouth is a picture of what is in my heart, my thoughts and feelings that on the inside is eventually what comes out in our words and actions. And it was mentioned in Sunday school that sometimes we get in pressure situations and things come out of us. Where do they come from? I'd like to do a little drawing on the board this morning. Some of you might recognize it as a drawing that Brother Steve Ebersol has used before, but it illustrates a point that I want to make about our heart. I'm not an artist, but I'll give it a try here. I made some modifications to it to better illustrate what I want to share this morning. Let's see here. I want the stick figure to represent our body. And this figure that I'm drawing right now, I want it to represent our heart. And we have God here. This is my physical body. This is where my mouth is. This is where my words come from that we're going to be talking about this morning. We share this earth with other people. It's not just us here. And this is our heart. This is the real us. I'll refer back to this drawing a couple times this morning. What is in my heart eventually comes out. What is in here? This is where my desires are. This is where I process my thoughts. And I can use self-discipline on my body. And I can use self-control and external forces to control what this mouth that's in my body says. But when those situations come up where there's pressure, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what I want us to learn this morning. And there's at least two ways we can express what is in our hearts. We convey our thinking through words. And we do that with our mouth, obviously. That's one way. And we also use writing to convey what is in our hearts. And I'd like to look at our mouths first. And of course, let's turn to the book of James. He does so well at teaching us about our tongue. He calls it our tongue, referring to our mouth. Let's turn to James chapter 3. I want to read the first 13 verses here in James. Teaches us on how to use our tongue. Some very practical teaching here. It's easy to understand. So James chapter 3, verse 1, let's begin reading. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, and though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. James talking about our tongue. Verse 1, be not masters. Master means teacher or instructor. And the person who speaks on a subject is criticized the hardest. And it's one of the reasons I feel vulnerable this morning, even sharing on the subject of speech. I know it's an area that I'm weak, an area I need to grow. I recognize that. But James says here that the person who does the speaking or does the teaching receives the greatest criticism. Verse 2 talks about the tongue and how it's a small part of our body. Yet it's the hardest one for us to control, isn't it? We would never think of just, when we're in a conversation with someone, just slapping them upside of the face. But what about those little words that we just use to throw that dart, to throw that dagger, and to just strike where it hurts? Those little words carry weight, and they can sting, and we slip them in sometimes. Verse 3 and 4 compares our tongue to two things. The first one is the bit that we put in horses' mouths. It's that little piece of metal in that horse's mouth, but that big horse that is so powerful is controlled by that little piece of metal that's in that horse's mouth. And also compares the tongue to the small rudder on a ship. Big ship, small rudder. Most of the time it's underneath the water. You don't even see it down there. But it's behind that ship and it's directing that ship in the way that it's going. That's what James compares our tongues to. So that's what our tongue is like. Verse 5, our tongue, again, is a little part of our body. And we could even forget it's in our mouth sometimes. But it's such a powerful organ. It can do so much in a positive way and also a negative way. We'll look at that a little bit later on. Verse 6 teaches that our tongue can get us into a lot of trouble sometimes, doesn't it? Words come out. We say something. We wish we could just pull it back in. Sometimes we wish maybe it was like some messaging apps where you start talking and you realize, well, that's just not how I wanted it to come out. You can slide it to the left and delete it. Or maybe even after you send it, you can press delete. But that's not how it is with our words. They come out of our mouth, they're out there. There's no way that we can pull them back. It's one of the reasons we need to think carefully about what we say. Verse 6 says, our tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Proverbs 16, verse 23 says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. It's wise words from Solomon. Verse 9 and 10. Sometimes we use the idiom, we talk out of both sides of our mouth. I think it's what James is teaching here. We say one thing in one situation and we say another thing in another situation. We use the same mouth to worship God with our heart, and we use the same mouth to criticize or chew out our brother, sister. James says it shouldn't be like that. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Shouldn't be that way. Verse 11 and 12. Can good and bad come from the same source? The same thought here. This week I was having a conversation with a man on a job site. And the more we talked, the more I realized what kind of a fountain he was. He started out talking about godly things. But it wasn't long. The more he talked, he realized where his heart truly was. And I'm not here to judge him. But the Bible does teach we can see those fruits and see what is going on in a person's heart. In verse 13, I think this is the person we're all striving to be. A wise man and endued with knowledge, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. I think that's what we're all striving for. To be followers of Christ and to be more meek, be more like Christ. But like I said, our tongue is just one of the ways that we communicate. We also use writing to communicate. And I wanted to touch on this because it's an age that we live in. We use written communication a lot today. When James wrote this letter, communication was often verbal. If you had a message for someone, you would give it to a messenger and they would take it and give it to the person, tell them what you said. Or possibly, if you were able to write, you would write a letter and send it by person over to that person, to the person you wanted to receive that message. Maybe you had to have a scribe write it for you. But today we live in an age of easy communication. We can write emails, we can write text messages, whatever it is. And we can send that real very easily, very quickly. It's a way we communicate. Phone calls are becoming less and less, and we are using more email and text message to communicate. And those of us born in the 1900s have sort of seen this written age of communication sort of explode. We can instantly send messages around the world. Did a little bit of research, and I was surprised that it wasn't until 1999, almost the end of the last century, when texting first became possible, where you could send messages between people. And it wasn't even until later into the 2000s where it became more common that people would communicate that way. Now it's almost an inconvenience to get a phone call, but text messages and writing has become a primary way of communication for many people. While we don't use our tongues to type out those messages, the same principles apply from our tongue to the way we write, the way we share those messages. And I think we could also argue that we need to use more caution when we write a message than possibly just speaking it, because there's so much that's missed in writing. We can very easily type out something that we would never say to someone to their face. Or we could share something that we would never say with our own mouth. Just something to think about. I want us to think about the power of our words this morning. Words mean something. We use them very freely. Sometimes we forget the weight that they do carry. And James compares our tongue to a fire. Fire is such a beneficial thing. It's been used for thousands of years to cook food, to warm, all of those things. But a fire, when it's out of control, is so devastating. It can just destroy so much. Think of a building fire. It just burns everything in it, destroys it, makes the building useless. And that's how our tongue is when it's out of control. It just burns indiscriminately. And our words are so powerful. We can possibly think back in our years ago, something that somebody said to us, whether it was a challenge or a criticism. Maybe it was something that was positive, that blessed us. But it was something that was said years ago, and we can remember it even to this day. The power of words. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Again, Solomon giving direction on how to use our tongue. And he compares it here to like a piercing of a sword when we use words that are meant to tear down or to hurt people. It's like the piercing of a sword. Solomon also said in Proverbs 18, verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." It's very sobering to me, the word, the power that words carry. Because words convey what is in our heart. Words carry weight. I thought of the verses in Romans 10. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The power of words and the ability to express what is inside of us, bring it out. It's a gift that God has given to us to be able to communicate. It's through it we find salvation. Yes, we can find salvation if we can't audibly speak. But there is a benefit to us being able to share our testimony, being able to share our heart, what God has done for us. Well, since words are so powerful, shouldn't we just keep our mouth shut? Is shutting our mouth the solution to the problem? Well, maybe sometimes it's a good idea to shut our mouths. And sometimes we hear people say, "I'm just going to keep my mouth shut." Does just keeping our mouth shut solve the problem? Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7 does teach there's a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. But a large part of what we say does not involve words anyway. We're all familiar with the saying, your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying. We rely on tone of voice, body language, facial expression to bridge the gaps that we have in words. That's why writing a letter or maybe a text message or email can be problematic. Those pieces are missing. And we try to bridge those gaps with emojis and things like that, but punctuation possibly, but it's just not sufficient. We miss so much in that form of communication. But is keeping our mouth shut the problem? And sometimes when you hear people say, "I'm just going to keep my mouth shut," often they're saying more by saying that than if they would just communicate, articulate what's on their heart, and share their point of view. If we open our hearts, or open our mouth and use words that come from a heart that is controlled by the Holy Spirit, sometimes just keeping our mouth shut is not the solution to the problem. Proverbs 25, verse 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver." There's a time to speak, and there's a time to be quiet. And we need to be controlled by the Spirit to determine when those two times are. Well, what are some principles that guide us on what to say and when to say it? Turn to Colossians chapter 4. Some verses here I want to touch on. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. There's two phrases in this verse that catch my attention. The first one is, be always with grace. That's one requirement for our speech. And the other one is that it be seasoned with salt. Now, I looked up this word grace here. And this word grace means divine influence upon the heart. And I was blessed by that. As I thought about this, our mouths and our heart. And if our speech is always with grace, it's our heart is influenced by divine direction. And when that, when God speaks through our heart and through our mouth, it will be with grace. It will be with blessing to those around me. The second phrase is seasoned with salt. Salt preserves, salt purifies, and salt enhances. If something's lacking a little bit at the table, pass the salt. Sprinkle a little on, makes it taste so much better. Salt brings out the good. And a question we can ask ourselves before speaking is, what I'm going to say going to make the situation better? Is it going to bring benefit to the situation? If the answer is no, then we probably should just keep it to ourselves. But if what we have is going to be a benefit to the conversation, then we can definitely share it with the divine direction. Share it with grace in our lives. Another direction for us is shared with humility. It's good to remember who we are when we go to share something. Ecclesiastes 5 says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by multitudes of words. We don't know everything. We have a perspective. We saw it this morning when we talked about the watchman. We each have our own perspective. We all don't know everything. It's the blessing of brotherhood. And it's good if we can just share that with humility and grace. We don't always have the answer to everything. There's the saying, it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So share what we have with humility. Also, keeping in mind that words do matter. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. What I say does matter. Matthew chapter 12, let's read verse 36 and 37. These are sobering verses. This is Matthew's record of our text verses. Let's just read verse 35 as well. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It matters what we say. The words that we use, it matters. We're going to be judged for the words that we say, the idle words that we say. I take this as a challenge in my own life. It's easy to talk too much. It's good to remember that the words that I say do matter, and I'm going to give account for what comes out of my mouth. We can also ask ourselves, is what I am saying true? Matthew 5:37 says, "But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Can people count on what I say? Do I quickly share a story before I have the facts? Am I quick to share gossip? Or do people know me as someone who, if I said it, it's probably true? Another aspect that I find difficult to keep in my own life is, do I keep my commitments? It's easy for us to make commitments, but do we keep them? If I say I'm going to install a garage door for you on March the 22nd, and I say I'll be there at 8 a.m., can I be counted on that I will be there as much as possible? Or do people know that, well, he may or may not keep his word? Are we people of our word? Will we do what we say we will do? What is the source of what I'm about to say? What fountain is it coming from? We looked at the two fountains there in James and how there can't be sweet water and salt out of the same fountain. Philippians 4:8, we know this verse well. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That applies to our speech. The words coming out of my mouth, what fountain are they coming from? Is it true? Is it honest, just, pure? And number 6, which is closely related to another point that I had, but is what I am going to say going to bless others? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read 29 through 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. This is Paul teaching on what needs to be put away and then the new life that we need to put on. He gives us some teaching on what should and shouldn't come out of our mouth. He says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Is what I'm going to say going to be a blessing to others? Or is it going to let bitterness come out of my heart? Anger, that's where these things are. They're in our hearts, and they express themselves through our mouth. Is what I have to say going to be a blessing to others? And be gracious with each other. Ephesians 4:32, everyone here, probably even the youngest children, could quote that by heart. Be kind one to another. Kind words. Words that are upbuilding. Words of encouragement. There's power in those words. But even the smallest encouragement given to a child, "I'm glad you're here," can last with that child for a lifetime. The same thing is true in the opposite way. A condemnation can wound them, and they'll carry that with them. So let's be careful with what we say. Be kind. My grandma had a plaque in her bathroom for a long time that said, "Be careful of the words you say to keep them soft and sweet, because you never know from day to day which ones you'll need to eat." And I've always thought of that. When we talk about our tongue, we don't know which words we're going to have to eat, so let's keep them sweet. We don't always have time to think about these points that I mentioned before we speak. We know that we get into situations and we just speak. And I'd like for us to think back to our theme verse, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our conversation, what we say, is just a reflection of what is inside. So we need to make sure that what we have inside is not any of these things that's listed here in verse 4. Corrupt communication, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. It's not inside, because that's what's going to come out when we get in a stressful situation or under pressure. I'd like to close with a verse from Psalm. David, this was his prayer. He says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let's pray. Father, we again come to you this morning. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the opportunity to again worship with brothers and sisters. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to guard our mouth and to guard our hearts. But I pray that we would be able to speak a word for you when we have the opportunity. And Lord, when we have other opportunity to use our mouth in a way that would tear others down, that we would allow our hearts to be directed by your Spirit, and that your grace would flow through us, flow through our mouth, and be a blessing to others. Lord, forgive us where we have failed in this area. But help us to all remember that we will give account for the words that we use and how we use them. Just bless each person here.